Praise God, beloved, and welcome to Grateful for Love. This is Regina. I am so blessed each time that I'm able to share with you from God's word, and please know that it is a blessing to me, and I pray that it is a blessing to you as well. We are looking today at a book from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, looking at chapter 26, and we want to pinpoint verse 39. However, the fullness of the chapter will give you a more solid background and information on what Jesus is about to do. He's approaching his time right before he is tried and is taken to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. And so this particular portion is found where he and his disciples are in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is an olive grove area of Jerusalem. And it is a place of quiet and solitude. And so Jesus takes his disciples there with him, and he leaves the majority of them and takes Peter, James, and John a little further into the garden. And he goes there to pray. And so verse 39 reads from the NIV, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And we want to look at just the heart of Jesus to be willing to submit to the Father's will, submitting to God's will. And as much as he was and is God the Son, he was giving us the example out of all that he was doing to bridge the gap between man and God. He was also just as mindful of being the example to show us how he wants us to live. And so he wants us to pattern ourselves after him. And so this is what he's doing here. He is submitting to God's will. And it says that he says, if it's possible, he fell to the ground. He was under such pressure, under such sorrow, heaviness, if you will. If you go back up to verse 38, it even says that. It says, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now here he's talking to Peter, James, and John. They've already left the other eight disciples closer to the entrance coming into the garden. And Peter, James, and John go with him a little bit further into the garden center. And he leaves them, and then he goes a little bit further in where he's praying alone. But before he leaves, he tells them that I'm heavy. I feel very sorrowful. And so he wants them to watch with him, to watch in prayer with him. And that's when he says in verse 39, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, if it's possible, if there's any other way, may this cup, will you let this cup pass from me? And we're going to look at some cross references of what this cup would mean. This was a cup of suffering. Most assuredly it was. Let's turn to our first cross reference. We want to look at Matthew. Again in Matthew, we're going to turn over to verse 20. And verse 20, I'll read from verse 20. But my key cross reference is going to be verse 22. But to pull you in and give you a little bit better, clearer picture, I'll start reading in verse 20. This is Matthew 20:20. And it says in the King, in the NIV rather, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 21, what is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. 22, you don't know what you are asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them in 23, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now, the mother of Zebedee's son, so this is the mother of James and John. And so she's asking, this is a mother's request. The subheading reads, and she's asking Jesus if her sons can sit on either side of him, when he gets to his kingdom. And Jesus asks them, can you drink of this cup I'm going to drink? And they said that they could. And Jesus confirmed, yes, you will. You will drink of the cup. In other words, there will be suffering in your lives because of me. You will suffer not only isolation and ridicule, but for some, even cruel deaths. Will you suffer for me and for the kingdom's sake? But I don't have the authority given to me to grant you where you will sit. That is my Father's decision. Here again, Jesus is, even though he is God the Son, he is acknowledging and giving respect to God the Father, who has sent him to earth to do this huge, huge, indescribable example that he was going to be in terms of how he was going to rid sin's dominion over man. Sin would still be here, but he was going to crush and break its dominion, where man would not have to sin if they chose to walk with him. Sin would not any longer have dominion over that person. And so the cup that is being referred to here is this cup of suffering, of anguish, of just cruelty and all that goes with suffering that you can think of, and 10 times worse than that, if not more times worse than that. But it was a cup that they would experience in some form or another as well, because they would be carrying the gospel and sharing the gospel with those in their lifetime that they would come in contact with. Let's go to another cross reference in Psalm 40. In the book of Psalm number 40, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. And this is a Psalm of David. And it says in the NIV, it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. So David shares in such an eloquent and personal way about sacrifice and offerings that God was not requiring anything like that of him. But he did say, Lord, I'm offering you myself. I'm giving you my life back to you. You gave me life. I'm giving it back to you. And I desire to do your will. Your law. The things I know about you are deep in my heart. And I want to please you, the one who made me, the one who fathered me, the one who sent me here. I want to give back to you by living a life that will please you. And it didn't mean that David was a perfect, sinless man, of course, because we know that he was not. But his willingness to give himself to God, and that God would use even through his mistakes, even through his sins, God would teach him things, because David would always come back to God. He never walked away so far that he could not find a way to get back to God, and he would do it immediately. David was one who was always prompt to admit his wrong, and he was known to be a man after God's own heart. And so he wanted here in this psalm to do God's will. He says, your law is in my heart. And these are just cross-references, beloved, regarding the Father's will and submission and this terrible cup that Jesus was going to, about to partake as he was praying in the garden. And we know that he prays two more times. The verse that we read as our verse for today is the first time he prayed. But if you read within the verses between 36 and verse 50 of this book, of this chapter in Matthew, you will see he prayed two more times. So I believe that God is teaching us about persistence. It's okay when we're heavy and when we may feel somewhat emotional. God wants us to come to him then too, maybe even more so, because if we are filled with emotion, he doesn't want us to make a wrong choice or decision because we are emotional. And so he wants us to come to him. He wants us to lay it all there on the altar for him, to be able to help us to sort through and to put aside those things that are not helpful, and to focus on what's most important. Let's look at Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7, it says, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Who does it sound like? Jesus. This is out of Isaiah, who was a foretelling of the Messiah and how the Messiah would have his back beaten, his beard plucked, as it says in verse 6. He says, I will not hide my face from mocking and spitting. So he was willing to submit to God's will. And it's not that God was taking pleasure in seeing his son go through all of these horrible, horrible, cruel things. But he knew that to fulfill the plan, to fulfill the greater plan, to bring back, to buy back, to redeem his people back to himself, it would have to be this way. Because without the remitting of sin, there has to be shedding of blood. Without, rather, the shedding of blood, there can be no remitting of sin. And so it had to be this way. Jesus had to go through what he went through, the cruelty, the mocking, the abuse, the beatings, the pulling of the beard, all of those things he went through in order that he could redeem us back to the Father. And so he was willing to submit to the Father's will. When you think of the word submit, we're talking about allowing ourselves to be under someone else's power and authority. We recognize their power and authority, and we put ourselves under them. And so Jesus did that for the sake of us to be redeemed back to the Father. Let's look at one more verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. And this comes out of the prayer. Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, this is the disciples' prayer, actually. The Lord is teaching his disciples how they should pray. And it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." God wants us to acknowledge that we want his will to be done above our own. As his children, we are submitting. So we're saying, "Father, whatever you see fit that's best in this situation, I submit to you. Let your will be done." And let's look at this one more verse. I do want to go to the book of John. So I do want to add a couple more verses. As I looked at my notes, I don't want to skip them. So let's look at the book of John. The first one is in chapter 4, verse 34. And we covered this verse in a couple of episodes back. But it says in verse 34 of chapter 4 of St. John, St. John 4, 34, Jesus is talking here. It says, "My food," says Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus saw his nourishment as food was doing God's will. That's what kept him going. Spiritually speaking, that kept him motivated. That kept him focused, even when he would, I'm sure, would get weary sometimes in his human body, because he knew that he was in the will and doing the will of God. That kept him moving forward. So he said, "My food is to do the will of God and to finish." So he didn't want to start and just start for the sake of starting. He wanted to finish. He wanted to complete, bring it full circle, and have everything that the Father had asked him to do completed. John 5 and 30 says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just." And this is the key part here. "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Now this is Jesus, the Messiah. God, the Son, is saying, "I don't seek to please myself." So why do we think that we have to seek to please ourselves here, beloved? If he was willing to put his will aside to complete and do the Father's will, surely we must see the importance of that and see his example for us in him doing that, for us to follow suit and to do the same thing. So we see in this verse, I want to look at it also from the Amplified. So we're back in Matthew 26 and 39. And it says, "And after going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible,'" that is, if it is consistent with your will, "let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." So Father, if what I'm asking you is consistent with your will, let it pass. But if what I'm asking you is not consistent with your will, then let your will be done. I submit myself to your will. I humble myself and do what only pleases you. Now in the Passion Translation, and we'll close with this verse 39, of Matthew 26. It says here, "Then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet, what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me.'" And then it includes, "Then the angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him." So Jesus, through this translation, was saying, "What I want is not important. I'm asking you because you're my Father. I can ask you. And he's our Father. We can ask him anything. But then we have to resolve and say, 'Lord, but what I'm asking is not as important as what you want to accomplish in and through the life that you've given me, what you sent me here to do and to complete. And so I want to do only what pleases you. I want to fulfill what you desire for me. I want to fulfill that.'" And so I pray and trust, beloved, that these verses have helped you today, talking about submitting to God's will, to the Father's will, realizing that there are times in our lives when we will be confronted with choices that we have to make. And sometimes it may not always be as clear what we should do in terms of our everyday lives. We know from God's word that everything in God's word is his will. But when it comes to personal type decisions, you know, should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I buy this home? So forth, things like that. That means that we have had to have spent time with God in his word and being transformed, our mind being renewed. And then through our walk with him on the daily, we will begin to know more and more better God's heart and God's plan and desire for us personally. And so this is a faith walk, and it is something that we must practice each and every day as we draw closer to him, so that we can know the fullness of his will and the things that he shows us, that we can submit ourselves to him and do those things that will please him, realizing that what I want is not the most important thing. What's the most important thing is to do and to complete the task that he puts in my hands to do. So God bless you, beloved. I pray that you have been blessed once more and again. Shalom, shalom.